Hello, and welcome to the third episode of the podcast F4. We're calling it that since it's a lot easier to say than Food and Frightening Film Fanatics. Want to try that, Michelle?
Frightening food fanatics. Scary to say.
Close enough. So, let's see. This podcast is about two of our favorite things, food and scary movies. Before we get started, a few disclaimers. One, we'll review one movie each week and Michelle will come up with a food based on the themes of that movie. Two, we are not experts on anything, which is painfully obvious. Three, we'll try to keep this fairly short because, like you, we will get distracted and wander off and want to do something else. Michelle's already there now.
We want to keep your attention and we want you to be ready for every week that we come on. Here we go.
Number four, I think this goes without saying, but just in case, heavy spoilers ahead. If you have not seen this movie and you plan to watch it, please turn back now. Having said all that, our next movie up is The Haunting of Hill House.
Yay.
Don't confuse this with The House on Haunted Hill. That was a 1959 movie with Vincent Price in it, and there was also a remake in 1999. That's a completely different movie. That one is about some people get paid a certain amount of money to try to stay in a haunted house all night. I think the first one they got paid $10,000, and the second one they got paid $1 million each, obviously, because most of them aren't going to make it out alive. So, completely different movie than this one. Where to find The Haunting of Hill House? It's a Netflix original, so currently streaming on Netflix and obviously very, very popular in the past couple of months. It is based on a 1959 book by Shirley Jackson by the same name. And that book is often referred to as a definitive haunted house story.
And talking about a dysfunctional family, this is the ultimate dysfunctional family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good segue. The Netflix series differs greatly from the book. So it's really just using the book as source material. If you want something that's actually a movie that's closer to the source material, check out The Haunting from 1963. That stars Julie Harris and Claire Bloom. There's also a 1999 adaptation, which had Liam Neeson, Lily Taylor, and Catherine Zeta-Jones in it. That one's a bit of a mess, so people like to forget about that. Mike Flanagan directed the Netflix series. He's done some of my most favorite recent movies, including Gerald's Game, that's based on a book by Stephen King, also on Netflix, Oculus, Ouija, Origin of Evil, and I've seen everything Mike Flanagan has directed at this point. So if his name is on it, I think it's going to be something I like.
And you'll have to excuse Jeanette with also her heavy accent. She has a little bit of a cold, so.
Yes, thank you. I have a little bit of a cold. I'll try not to do too much heavy breathing or sneezing or sniffling. Characters. As we said before, what Flanagan does in this series is just loosely based on the book. So he takes a family and puts them in the haunted house and then weaves the story around them. And one thing I really like about Flanagan is he, like Ryan Murphy, uses the same actors over and over again in all of his productions, which I really enjoy because then you get to see really how talented the actors are when they do completely different roles. So I enjoy seeing that. So The Haunting Hill House is based on the Crane family. As I said, there's the parents, father Hugh and mother Olivia, and five children. So let's see, most of the characters have two people playing them, an older and a younger version. Olivia is the exception to that. Carla, I'm going to screw up her last name, Guccino, she just plays the one character. Let's see, so you have the father and mother, you have the oldest child, Steve, Shirley, Theo, Eleanor, or she goes by Nell for short, or Luke. Let's see, something you might not know, Michelle, Steve is probably named Steve as a tribute to Stephen King. And he's a character who refused to believe that the house is haunted, and instead he thinks everybody in his family is mentally ill.
Oh, that's surprising.
Which may be interesting, which may be true. Interestingly, he makes his living writing books about the paranormal, even though he doesn't believe in it. So go figure that. Shirley is possibly a tribute to Shirley Jackson, who wrote the book. Do you know that?
No.
Theo is the third child, and she's played by Katie Siegel, who incidentally is married to Mike Flanagan. And interesting side note, and I already told you this, so I know you know it, but she was pregnant during the filming, and they named the baby
Theo.
Theo, yeah. So I thought that's really cool. So she's the third child, and then the fourth and fifth children are twins, and that's Luke and Nell. Luke is played by Oliver Jackson Cohen, who was on NBC's Oz, which only had one season and I thought was really good, so I'm sad that movie is over. But so those are the adult versions, and then like I said, there are children that play all of the kids as well. The standout, I think, among the child actors is McKenna Grace, and she's been in all sorts of stuff recently, so she did an excellent job as a younger Theo, and she also played a younger Sabrina on The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, the holiday special. So she is a very busy actress, and I really enjoy her. There are two other main characters in the show. Well, three, I guess. Shirley's husband, and then the Dudleys, who take care of the house. So the Dudleys are Horace and Clara, and they refuse to stay in the house at night, and they live off the ground with their daughter, Abigail.
They've gotten smart in their old age.
They have. And there may be ways in which they're connected to the house, but I'll talk about that later. Why you should watch this movie. Basically, I thought I was going to watch a haunted house movie, and it turned into really a drama about a family, which was much more impactful than just watching some scary movie. So I really loved it, series. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, it was the way they communicate, which they don't, was a little painful, but it was very good, and I highly recommend seeing it.
Definitely. Here's a few other things you might not know. Ghosts are hidden everywhere in Hill House. Besides the bent neck lady, the most prevalent is the bowler hat man, who was a really tall, scary guy in a bowler hat, and that's supposed to be William Hill, who walled himself up inside the house. There's also Poppy Hill, who murdered her three children, and Hazel Hill, which, if you remember, was the old woman in the bed. There are actually 8 to 10 hidden ghosts per episode. So you might just watch it the first time around just for the story, and then the second time around try to find the ghosts. There are many, many articles about all the ghosts. I think I saw up to 43 ghosts total that were hidden, but there's tons of articles on Vulture, Screen Rant, Pop Quiz, etc. that talk about them. Here's something I bet you don't know. Some people think that the Crane children each represent a stage of grief. Did you hear that already?
Yes, I did.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought I was going to tell you something new.
No, so but it's Stephen, very interesting.
Stephen's supposed to represent denial, Shirley, anger, Theo, bargaining, Luke, depression, and Nell, acceptance. So I thought that was really interesting. The other thing is episode 6 is entirely composed of 5 long tracking shots. So the whole episode is just 5 continuous shots, which is amazing how they go from room to room to room, just logistically trying to plan that out and shoot it is crazy. Let's see. Oh, here's something I bet you don't know. The person who played Nell's psychiatrist, remember him when she went to see a psychiatrist? Mm-hmm. Is actually Russ Tamblyn, who starred in the 1963 movie as Luke, who in that version was the heir, was the guy who was going to end up owning Hill House at some point. Do you know that?
No, that's interesting.
Okay, something new.
All these little hidden facts.
Let's see, there's 10 episodes total in the series, so it's not a huge time investment. I did think, you know, my only criticism, it was a bit wordy at times, but given the overall effect of the movie, I mean, that's really not anything to harp on. And then also, for me, it was over too soon. I really wanted to see more of these people, but I don't think there's going to be a second season of this. But what they could do is have Theo go off and do something with her psychic powers, and then that would give us at least some more of those characters.
Yeah, I really hope they do something, a spinoff or something, because it was really good.
That's great. Let's see. What else have I got? The Dudleys, the husband may be the illegitimate son of the guy who built the house originally, whose last name was Crane, because if you remember, his mother spent a lot of time in Hill House and then kind of went crazy, and they would find her, and they moved her to the cottage, and they would find her wandering through the forest at night. So I think that's their tie-in initially to Hill House.
He's half bear.
Yep, he could be half bear.
She had an affair with a bear in the forest.
Definitely a grizzly. let's see. Oh, I enjoyed, let me just read this real quick. They use the first paragraph of the book as in the Netflix series several times to try to get the point across that really the Hill House is a living organism and it wants to consume people and draw them in, which is what it's trying to do to the family. So let me just read it real quick. Hill House, not sane, stood by itself against its hills, holding darkness within. It has stood so for 80 years and might stand for 80 more. Within, walls continued upright, bricks met neatly, floors were firm, and doors were sensibly shut. Silence lay steadily against the wood and steel of Hill House, and whatever walked there walked alone.
Ooh.
The other thing, do you remember the, and this is the last one I got, the little thing about Mrs. Dudley when she was telling them that she is not, no one is coming to help them if they scream in the night. Do you remember that? You'll remember it if I read it. So, and this, they also do this in the movie as well, the 1963 movie. Mrs. Dudley says, I set dinner on the dining table sideboard at 6. Breakfast is ready at 9. I don't stay after dinner, not after it begins to get dark. We live in town 9 miles. So there won't be anyone around if you need help. We couldn't even hear you. No one could. No one lives any nearer than town. No one will come any nearer than that in the night, in the dark. So, if you had a clue, you'd know Miss Dudley was telling you better get out of this house right away, right?
Right.
But no, they have to stay. Because they're renovating the house to try to sell it, to try to flip it, so then they can buy their own dream home. Yeah, obviously it doesn't turn out well.
And they're so dysfunctional, they don't pay attention.
Yeah. So, what else? So, do you want to go over what recipe you came up with? Or you want to talk about anything else about that specific thing?
Sure. No, I just, again, highly recommend it, the series. I had no expectations, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I just would recommend it to everyone, even if you're not a scary movie fan. It was good. The things that took place and intertwined their lives, and it was just really good and intense, and it held your attention.
I highly recommend it too. In fact, it's my number one favorite TV show of last year.
Yeah.
And Theo is up there on my list of top favorite female characters of last year. So I loved it. It was way beyond my expectation. And I'd already read the book and seen all the versions of the movies. So it was great.
Yeah, the characters were just awesome, and as the movie goes on, their characters unwind, and you feel like you know them, and you just you want to help them, yeah, and you can't.
They really are fleshed out, and that's one thing that's sorely missing in many, many horror movies.
Right.
So what recipe did you come up with?
Well, I don't have a specific recipe, but I found a cute little website to go to. And the kids, I mean, they were, you know, frightened. And so what do you do with little kitties that get scared? You make them pies.
Lock them in the closet.
You don't lock them in the closet.
Lock them in a dark closet.
Oh, my God. It'll ruin them for life.
Exactly.
So
what do? You make them pies?
Well,
oh, that's a good second thing to do.
If they're ruined for life, you can make them pies and cookies. So This little website, it's called Crazy for Crust, C-R-U-S-T, and it has a whole bunch of recipes, not just pies and cookies. But there's a recipe on there, and I have not tried it yet, but looked up colorful pies and cookies, and I got crazy for crust. And the woman who does the website gets her recipes, not only her own, but from she gathers her favorite recipes from all over the place. So I would highly recommend Crazy for Crust. And the twist on this is pies and cookies, you can make pie cookies is one of the recipes. And it's a cookie that is also a pie. And you take the crust and you can add fillings and frosting and candy to them. And they're really cute for maybe a birthday party or just a gathering, even for your adult friends. So I highly recommend Crazy for Crust. Try that and pick out your favorite recipes that you like.
That sounds like the hand pies that you normally make.
Not exactly. They're not as cute as all these cookies and pies or pie cookies or cookie pies.
They are good.
So the hand pies are just, I take a ready-made pie crust and throw some filling in it, fresh blueberries. Not a lot of sugar, just real natural, the blueberries or whatever you want to put in them, and fold them over, put a little bit of sugar on top, a little bit of water or egg wash, and put them in the oven and bake them, and there you have it.
And there's no hands in them, in case that's what you're thinking.
There's no hands. It's hand-free. Not even fingers. So there you have it. And thank you, and Jeanette,
great.
Take us out.
I guess that's it for this week. So we will meet you back here next week. And until then, hope you have a great one, and we will talk to you later. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.